Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together by praising Him.
Joseph Scriven wrote the words of this song for his mother to help her feel better when she was sad. He knew a lot of sadness in his life. He was engaged to be married, and right before the wedding, his fiancée was thrown off her horse into a river, and she drowned. Joseph wanted to live a new life, so he moved from Dublin to Ireland to Canada to become a teacher. He fell in love with another woman and was going to marry her when she died just before the wedding to pneumonia. How sad! Joseph Scriven was known in his community as someone who was eager to help the widows, the disabled, and the sick. He would make sure that they had lots of firewood to keep warm in the wintertime. He was a friend to those in need. Did you know that Jesus is our friend? Let's sing this song about our friend named Jesus. Let's review the books of the New Testament. Are you ready? Starting with Matthew, I want you to say it along with me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1 and 2 3 John, Jude, Revelation. Fantastic! Let's go to our Bible lesson. Hello, boys and girls. Welcome back. We get to study some more about Jesus. And this week, we're going to learn about Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, and how he denied Jesus. Before we get started, what do we always do before we start our day in study? We pray. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes and talk to Jesus. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the time that we have to spend with you. Please help us to learn and to grow, and that you will help us to better understand what you want us to learn today. Amen. In Gethsemane, Jesus had faithfully followed the plan he and the Father made for Jesus to die in our place.
In Revelation, it says that Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. Do you know what that means? It means that Jesus and God the Father had a plan that if someone sinned, Jesus would die. And they made that plan before or when the foundation of the world was created from the very beginning. It was in the plan all along that Jesus would die for us if we sinned. He would do it so we wouldn't have to. But the terrible load of our sins was more than human nature could bear. So in answer to his earnest prayers, an angel came to give him extra strength. If that angel hadn't come, he would have died right there in the garden. After Jesus was strengthened by the angel, he went back to where Peter, James, and John were sleeping. As he spoke to them, he heard the mob coming, and he knew that they were looking for him. Let's look at Mark chapter 14, verse 42 and 43. Mark is the second book in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 14, verse 42 and 43. We're going to go to Mark, and then you're going to look for chapter 14. It's towards the back of the book of Mark. Once you find 14, that's the big number, then you're going to look below it for all the little numbers. And we want to go to verse 42. That's a long ways. So look, you might have to turn a page, maybe even two pages. I don't know about your Bible, but you're going to look up Mark chapter 14, verse 42 and 43. What does that say?
Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and scribes and the elders.
Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he told them to do what? To rise up, to get up. It was time to go. He said, "See, my betrayer is at hand." Who was his betrayer? Do you know who it was? It was Judas. Judas betrayed Jesus and led the mob to where Jesus was at in the Garden of Gethsemane. Look at verse 43. It says, Judas, one of the 12, came with this great big multitude. They were coming to find him. Now, when they came to where Jesus was, he stepped out in front of his disciples, and what did he ask the mob? What did he say to them? What did he ask them? Keep your finger or put a bookmark in Mark chapter 14, because we're going to come right back to it. We're going to read verse 44 in a minute, but not yet. Mark does not tell us what Jesus said to him, but John does. John chapter 18, verse 4 through 6 gives us a different perspective of the story. I like to think of it this way. Have you ever seen a house that has lots of windows? And if you look in one window, you might just see the bedroom. But you have to go around and look in another window, and then what can you see? Maybe the kitchen. And then you go and look in another window, and you might be able to see the living room. All these different windows help us to know what the house looks like, even though we're not in it. It's the same thing with the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all have different perspectives or different people's stories about the life of Jesus. So the life of Jesus is like a house. And if we look in one window, or if we look in one gospel, we can see the bedroom, or we can see some of the things that Jesus did. And then we go and look in another window, or another gospel, and we see a different part of Jesus' ministry, a different part of his house. So that's why we're going to kind of go to different gospels during this week to see what they recorded. the different perspectives or the different stories that they told, even though it's all about the same story of Jesus and his life. So we're going to John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John is the fourth book in the New Testament. John, then you're going to look at chapter 18, towards the back of the book. John, chapter 18, and once you find the chapter, that's that big number, then we're going to look for verse 4, 5, and 6. That's what we're going to read. So if you need more time, just pause this recording. Don't forget, keep your finger in Mark chapter 14, because we're going to come back to it. But let's look at John chapter 18, verse 4 through 6. What does it say?
Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground.
Jesus asked the mob, he said, "Who are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And what did he say? "I am he." Then what does it say happened? They did what? They fell to the ground. Why do you think they all fell to the ground? Well, it's because a powerful angel who had strengthened Jesus passed between him and the mob. The brightness around Jesus made them stagger back and fall as if they were dead. Do you ever wonder why they would have fallen back? When you see something really bright and your eyes are used to it being dark, your eyes end up going kind of like you're blind. What happens is our eyes, you know that black part in the center of your eye? Don't touch it. But what happens is when it's really dark out, like at nighttime when the disciples were there with Jesus, when it's really dark out, your eye is trying to get as much light as it can so that it can see, because it needs light to see. So your eye opens up, that black part opens way up so that it gets big to let all kinds of light in. But then when there's a whole bunch of light, your eye, there's too much light. It hurts your eye and you can't see. So you squint and you close your eyes. As time goes by, the pupil, the black part of your eye, gets smaller and smaller and smaller so that it won't let as much light in. But it doesn't happen instantly. So when it was dark out, their eyes were all used to the dark, and so their pupils were really, really, really big to let all kinds of light in so that they could see. But when the angel appeared, when the brightness shone around Jesus, it was so bright and their eyes, their pupils were so big and open that it let all kinds of light into their eyes, even in brightness. So they closed their eyes and they fell like they were dead. Jesus could have easily escaped while they were on the ground, but did he? No. When the brightness went away, guess what happened? They scrambled to their feet, and Jesus spoke to them again. What did he say? Let's look at verse 7. John 18, verse 7. What does verse 7 say?
Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth."
He asked them again, "Who are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus told the mob that since he was the one they wanted, they should not arrest the disciples too. Wasn't that thoughtful and caring and loving? Even though he was about to die, he was about to go to trial, he was trying to protect his friends, the disciples. Judas had told the mob that he would kiss the person whom they were to capture. Let's look at Mark chapter 14. Remember, you kept your finger in Mark chapter 14? Let's go back there. Go to Mark chapter 14 and then look at verse 44, the little numbers, verse 44.
Now his betrayer had given them a signal saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. seize him and lead him away safely.
Judas had a plan. He said, "Whoever I kiss, that's who you're to capture." So guess what? Judas came up to Jesus, acting like he wasn't with the mob. He was like, "Oh, Jesus, oh, I can't believe this is happening." And he came up to Jesus and kissed him. He even pretended to cry, to pretend like he was sad. We are going to look up one more verse today. I know, we looked up a lot, didn't we? Let's look at Luke chapter 22. Remember how I said the story of Jesus, it's like there's different windows to see different parts? Well, we're going to look in Luke's window. Luke chapter 22. Matthew, Mark, Luke. That's the third book in the New Testament. So we were in Mark. We're going to flip a few pages over to Luke. Luke is the next book. And chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. That's the big numbers. And then look for those little numbers. Verse 47 and 48. We're going to read Luke chapter 22, verse 47 and 48. If you need more time, just press pause, and then you can press play when you're ready again. Here's what it says.
And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus and to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?"
Judas came up to Jesus, and what did he do? He kissed him. And what did Jesus ask? "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Did Jesus know that Judas was just pretending? That it really wasn't true? That he really didn't feel bad? But he was the one who had told the priests and the leaders and had led them to Jesus? Yes. Who else knew that Judas was just pretending to love Jesus? The angels? God the Father? Yes. Boys and girls, Jesus loved Judas, even though he had betrayed him. Jesus loves us even when we betray him. He still loves us and he calls to us and he wants us to repent from our sins. When we sin, when we do what is wrong, we are betraying Jesus. I want to ask Jesus to help me to stand for him, to not be afraid, to say that he is my friend. What about you? Let's pray. Dear Lord, help us to be on your side. Help us to follow you. Help us never to be ashamed of you. And most of all, please, Lord, help us not to betray you. We love you, Jesus. We want to be ready to go with you in your kingdom. Amen. We have a new memory verse this week, Psalm 86, verse 5. It says, "For you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive." Is Jesus ready to forgive us when we do wrong? Yes. Jesus is good and he is ready to forgive. I want him to forgive me for my sins. How about you?
Psalm 86, verse 5.
For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant mercy unto all that I call upon you. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant mercy unto all that I call upon you.
Bible story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877 242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.